It's Living the Bream with host of Fox News at Night, Shannon Bream.
Welcome to this week's Living the Bream with our special guest, straight from Votes on Capitol Hill, Congressman Jim Jordan. Great to have you with us today.
Good to be with you. I didn't know that was the title of you. I didn't know.
Why? You're not a subscriber to the Living the Bream podcast? I'm stunned to hear that.
No, that's wonderful.
Taking Washington by storm. We're glad to have you. You've just been voting on Capitol Hill. You have a lot going on over there. So let's break it down. First of all, let's start with that funding resolution, the budget, what you all just voted on. A lot of folks were not very happy about it. They felt like, yes, their progress was made. The military needed some sense of stability and some funding moving forward.
Yeah.
But there were plenty of fiscal hawks who said, wait a minute, this is not what the GOP promised to come do.
Not even close. It was a terrible piece of legislation. And the part that bothers me the most is we were poised to win. And when, what I mean by that is we were ready to, I think, get the additional dollars for the military, but not grow the rest of government, not add to the deficit by just growing government with more social welfare spending and more government programs. Because just a few weeks ago, Chuck Schumer had shut down the government when we sent a bill over there, and he basically said, more important than funding our military is amnesty for illegals. And the American people said, no, time out. We don't like that. And suddenly Mr. Schumer, you know, had to change his tune and open the government back up. We sent him the same legislation with one difference in that we funded the troops for the full year. We were poised to win. We were on the cusp of victory. Instead, our leadership said, no, let's do what Washington always does. Let's just spend more money and buy more votes and spend money on everything and get Democrats and Republicans to agree on the one thing they can't agree, which is spending taxpayer dollars. And so, as I said the other day, the swamp won and the taxpayers lost, and that is not what we were elected to do.
How does that happen, though? Because we know that the leaders went behind closed doors. They worked out a deal among themselves and then come to you all and say it's a binary choice, yes or no, about whether you're going to vote for this. But where is the voice for the Freedom Caucus and other conservatives who want to be at the table negotiating?
This was so frustrating because our conference a few weeks ago was we were united in the position. Let's do what needs to be done for the men and women who wear the uniform of this country. But let's not just grow government. Let's not just spend $63 billion more on just government. And that's a position that's consistent with the election, consistent with Republican voters, consistent with the people who made Republicans the majority party in the House, the Senate, and put a Republican in the White House. But unfortunately, as I said, we just didn't stand firm in that position. Sometimes you have to have the fight so the American people can say, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I'm with those guys, like they did 3 weeks ago when they said, you know, I'm not with Chuck Schumer on this amnesty for illegals and not paying our troops and shutting down the government. I think that's a bad position. And they sided with us. They would have done the same, I believe, if we would have had the courage and the tenacity and the willingness to take the debate public in a bigger way to the American people. I think Chuck Schumer would have backed down and we could have won. But instead, we did the easy thing. And I learned a long time ago, you know, typically in life, what is the most difficult thing is probably the right thing to do. But instead, this town seems to want to do the convenient thing. And as I said before, the convenient thing is to just spend money.
So how does this play in the midterms when people, just like when they looked at the Democrats, when they said President Obama had the White House, they had both houses of Congress, they didn't get immigration done. Now you'll go out there in the midterms, you'll have to talk about things that haven't been done, but you'll have to talk about things that have been done, which this spending is included, and people say this is not what the GOP comes and campaigns on.
Great point, but let's go back and do the positive first. The first year of President Trump's presidency was a darn good year. I mean, taxes are down. Taxes are lower. People keep more of their money. The economy is growing. ISIS is backpedaling. The embassy is going to Jerusalem. And Neil Gorsuch is on the Supreme Court. Pretty darn good year. I'd match that up against just about any first year of any administration. So that's the good news. The bad news is what happened last week, where we increased spending like we're not supposed to do. What concerns me is now we begin to move into the immigration debate. And if we do the wrong thing there, then I think that's what causes concern. And that's what could mean people stay home and don't come out and support Republicans. And that's not good, not just for the party, but in my judgment, that's not good for the country, because I do believe if Democrats get in, there's going to be lots of bad things happen. So let's do the right thing on immigration. Let's do a bill that's consistent with the mandate of the 2016 election. That's what we're focused on now as conservatives, as the Freedom Caucus, and we're gonna stay focused on that.
So what we're looking at in the Senate now, the one provision there that the president has kind of given the thumbs up to, a group of GOP senators have come up with, including a couple people who have been pretty tough on cracking down on illegal immigration, not legal immigration. But it includes all kinds of things that may not play in the House. Yeah. First of all, you're talking about essentially amnesty, whatever people want to call it, a path to citizenship for almost 2 million people who were brought here illegally.
Yep.
We had Senator Ernst on the other night. She said those kids that came here as 3-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, they didn't commit a crime. Their parents did.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you square that with people who say, I don't think, matter how they got here, it's illegal and we should not give them a path?
Shannon, good question, but we make this way too complicated. I say this all the time. Our job is pretty basic. What did you tell the American people we were going to do, what they elect you to do? And understand the American people don't trust this town one bit when it comes to a lot of issues, but certainly don't trust this town on immigration because they're tired of the plan where, oh, here's amnesty and we promise that we'll eventually get to border security. They're not going to buy that this time. So what we have to do is legislation that's currently out there, Bob Goodlatte, Raul Labrador, legislation they put together, which does things in the prioritizing way that the American people spoke clearly about during the election. Namely, build the border security wall first, in-chain migration, stop the crazy visa lottery, deal with the sanctuary city policy, Kate's Law, all those things. Do all those, and oh, by the way, then when you do all that, the American people say, okay, we can also deal with these individuals who came here, like Senator Ernst described, this DACA population. But that's the prioritizing way that they spoke clearly about and demanded that we do and elected us to do, and we told them we were going to do in the election of 2016. So that's the bill we support. Mm-hmm. That's the bill that was whipped today in the House of Representatives. I think there's going to be the support for that if leadership will give it a little push. That's what we should pass.
Will it get to 60 votes, though, in the Senate, or just be DOA once it gets over there?
Well, it will make a statement and show the American people that there are some people in Congress who are actually willing to do what the election was about, willing to do what they said. And then you use the power that the president has, who is the one guy the American people trust on this issue, the bully pulpit that he has, and you keep talking about this makes sense. And oh, by the way, Democrats, you were focused on this DACA situation. That's addressed in the legislation, but not until we do all these things that the American people elected Republicans to do.
Well, and you know that they're saying now, there are hints in many of them talking, you know, the minority leader, Senator Schumer, earlier this week on the floor saying, we want a clean bill. We just want a clean fix for DACA. So, you know, there are all kinds of proposals coming in on immigration on the House and the Senate sides. If nothing gets passed, then do Democrats have this as a midterm issue to say, listen, hey, they didn't save you. The Dreamers are now in trouble.
Fair enough.
You know, they didn't get it done, and the GOP's controlling everything.
Fair enough, and maybe they do, but the only thing worse than no legislation is bad legislation. So we're focused on doing legislation, as I said before, consistent with the mandate of the election, consistent with what we told the voters we were going to do. And last time I checked, they elected Republicans. So this should be a bill that is a Republican bill focused on what the election mandate was. That is, I think, clearly comes to light in the Goodlatte legislation.
Well, you know the Senate side. You guys send stuff over there all the time they don't vote on.
Yeah.
They think you're scrappy.
Yeah.
That the House is a different body, and it is. That they're the dignified gentlemen and gentlewomen of Capitol Hill. And there are a lot of things that you guys do that they just sort of, it's almost like some of them, they put their nose up and they say, we're not touching that House stuff. That's just not how it's going to get done, and it's not going to happen.
Two things. One is there does need to be a change in the Senate rules. The 60-vote rule is ridiculous.
So get rid of the legislative filibuster.
I'm for getting rid of it, or at least make them be, you know, Jimmy Stewart and
take the floor.
Mr. Smith goes to Washington, go give the long speech. At least make them do that. Second, the founders in their wisdom wanted the House to be the body closest to the people. We're supposed to represent that. I tell folks back in our district, every time I talk to them, I said, that is a good thing that it's only a 2-year term, because every 2 years you get a chance to throw me out. That is positive for the country. Keeps you honest, keeps you coming back, talking to the folks you get the privilege of serving. So let's construct a bill that's consistent with what they sent us to do. That's what we're supposed to do in the House. And that is, again, represented in Chairman Goodlatte's legislation. That's why we're for it.
Okay, the FISA memos. We are waiting to see what's going to happen with the Democrat memo.
Yeah.
Went to the White House. White House said FBI, Intel, they've got trouble with this. They've sent it back for scrubbing from the Democrats. They say they're working on that. What do you think we ultimately will see? Because even FBI Director Christopher Wray's testimony on the Hill was that it doesn't paint the full picture. What we've seen in the House GOP memo doesn't give us everything. Do we get the Democrat memo? Will it give us a fuller picture? Do we get the FISA applications, the underlying documents? What will we see?
Yeah, no, again, another good question. I do believe we'll get the Democrat memo. I'm not sure on the FISA and the transcripts from the actual FISA court proceedings. I've called for those to be made public. So as Chairman Nunes, I hope that they are. I think that'd be just give the American people a clear picture what took place here. What we do know is this. The FBI, top people at the FBI, looked like they put their finger on the scale and tried to impact things in a negative way for President Trump. I mean, and I think last week one of the telling things that came out was this text message between Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, where Lisa Page says, POTUS, referring to President Obama, wants to know everything we're doing. And the key for me was the date of that. It was September 2nd, 2016. So remember, just 8 weeks before then, July 5th, 2016, Comey does his famous press conference, says no charges will be brought against Secretary Clinton. 3 weeks later, late July, the investigation is launched into Russia Trump by Peter Strzok. Agent Strzok, the same guy who ran the Clinton investigation, launches the Russia Trump investigation. 2 weeks after that, August 15th, there's a text message between Page and Strzok where they talk about the insurance policy in case the American people actually elect Donald Trump president. And then 2 weeks later, September 2nd, there's a text message that says, oh, President of the United States, President Obama wants to know everything we're doing. I think that's significant, particularly in light of all the other text messages we've seen from Page and Strzok, and particularly in light of the fact they were both on the Clinton investigation, both on the Russian investigation, and Peter Strzok was deputy head of counterintelligence. So all this is important for us to get to the bottom of. And then when you throw in the dossier and how that was used at the FISA court to get the warrant to spy on Carter Page, this is scary, and this is why we've called for a second special counsel. And we think there is no other remedy but for that to get to the bottom of this and get the answers the American people deserve.
Do you think you'll get one? Because you know right now there are people who immediately, as Mueller started putting together his team, they're looking at who they've donated to, who they've worked for.
Yeah.
Do you think any special counsel will truly be across the board by the American people viewed as impartial and nonpartisan so that you can get more answers? Or are we now just talking about launching another one that will come under the same kind of critical fire?
It'll certainly be have a better chance of being viewed as credible and the conclusions accepted by the American people than if Robert Mueller just expanded his investigation, or if Jeff said, I don't know how the FBI and the Justice Department can investigate themselves. So I think there's no, I wish there was, because I'm not a big fan, of special counsels, but I don't see any other remedy. The one caveat I would have is, instead of picking someone from the swamp here in D.C., pick some retired federal judge from, you know, Timbuktu, Iowa, or Oklahoma, or Ohio. I don't care. Pick someone from, someone from Battendorf, Iowa. Pick someone from out there, some judge or prosecutor. Let them put together his or her team. And then I think when they reach their conclusions and they present those findings to the American people, there's a much better chance that this country won't be so divided and will accept the results, and that will help restore the confidence that is needed in the top levels of the FBI.
Okay, let's talk about you.
Okay.
Outside of Capitol Hill, a lot of people do know your background as a world-class wrestler.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Okay, so I want to confirm some of these stats. In high school, a four-time state wrestling champion, your career record was 150-1.
Yes.
Who was that one person? Do you remember that match?
I do.
Have you talked to that person?
Not really. But yeah, I remember. And yeah, it was good for me. Actually, I would tell you, I say this to student athletes all the time, because my brother's the coach at our high school, and wrestling's a big sport at our high school. And I've had a chance to work with him some with some of his student athletes. And I tell him, you'll learn a lot more from the losses than you learn from the wins. And so that loss was good for me. And it happened to bring our team together. It's my senior year, actually. A lot of people think you probably
Ouch.
Lost the one loss you probably
and
have
your freshman, year. Yeah.
Yeah.
But are we allowed to say freshman? Fresh person.
Yeah, so I lost the senior year, but it helped our team. Our team came together, and that was the first time our team was actually able to win the state tournament as a team. So I think that was a big thing. And, if you have to lose a match to help your team get to a bigger mm-hmm. and better goal, that's a good thing.
You know what? That works on Capitol Hill, too, right?
Sometimes.
Okay, so three-time All-American in college, a two-time NCAA champion. They have a record here for you that I can't think is actually true because it's so many matches. What was your overall record?
Oh, I don't know, but I lost a lot in college.
They did not record that.
Well, I lost several matches in college. Lost several matches in international style wrestling too. But wrestling's been good to our family. Our boys both competed at the collegiate level and did fine. I got four nephews wrestling in college now, all for Big Ten teams, mm-hmm. and a bunch of nephews. And so it's been, when you're five, I had life figured out when I was in second grade, like a
of
lot
course.
Of second graders.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to play middle linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was my. I grew up in the 70s.
Steelers, yeah.
So I love, Franco Harris and Terry Bradshaw and Lynn Swann and Mike Webster mm-hmm. and Mean Joe Green. But my favorite guy was Jack Lambert, who played middle linebacker. And that's what I wanted to be. But I'm 5'7" and a half on a good day. So you have to wrestle when you're that size.
But right now, if you had to go to the mat, you still got it, right?
Not on the mat, I don't. But I'd still work out because you don't.
See, you
don't
never
think,
know.
You don't think right if you don't work out. So.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's more mental than it is physical a lot of times. Okay, so now we have a cross-examination that we like to give our guests.
I'm nervous.
See, and if you listen to Live in the Bream, you're not a podcast
Live
subscriber.
Live in the Bream, cross-examination.
You would know what's coming. We like to ask you some would you rather questions. First of all, I have to know, what is your favorite meal? Do you have one?
Oh, yeah, pizza. Yeah, pizza. I
mean, what kind? There's so many variations now. Well, do you think pineapple belongs on there?
No,
is this a pepperoni situation?
Yes.
Is it?
We have in our little hometown, like, they know when we call, because we're the one family that orders anchovies on the pizza.
Oh, you do like the anchovies.
I love the salt, yeah.
Okay, all right. With that in mind, would you rather eat your favorite meal for every meal the rest of your life, or never be able to eat your favorite meal again?
Never. Never. Yeah, you couldn't. I mean, I love pizza, but I couldn't eat anchovies every day. Jeepers.
So you're never going to get to eat your pizza again.
Yeah, I know, but...
All right.
I just know what it's like when you wake up at 2 in the morning. You got to have so much, go down and get a drink of water because you got so much salt.
Anchovies every day for all three meals. Okay, would you rather live in a place that is always hot or always cold?
Hot. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
But what was it like growing up in Ohio? It's cold up there. You get snow, you get ice, all that
what's
stuff.
The line in Ohio.
And then you went to Wisconsin.
Yeah. If you don't like the weather, wait 20 minutes, it'll change. That's, you know, it's Ohio and Wisconsin. I would rather live where it's warm. But maybe that's because I'm getting older now. And Polly and I are thinking, like, wow, this cold winter in Ohio.
I'm over it. I know. It feels better. But in D.C., you do get a mix.
That's true.
Now, listen, you may have already mastered both of these, but would you rather be an amazing dancer or... great at math. Now, you're an economics major, correct?
Yeah, but I'm not good at math.
Or economics. Which one is it?
It's econ and economics is how I always... That's how I say it. But
okay,
I will defer to you. Politics.
You.
I could be wrong, Jeepers.
But if you... Would you rather be an amazing dancer or great at math? Or maybe you're both already. I don't know.
I'm not either, but I've actually said to Polly, now that all our kids are older and we got a couple grandkids, and I said, we should go take dancing because I can't dance. We should go do that because she's real talented. She's an artist, and she was the lead in all the plays, and I have zero artistic talent.
But you got some rhythm?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
well,
she does, though. That's why I want to go learn to dance.
You
so
could
she can
work
help
together.
Me.
And by the way, we have a Friday night dance party after our 11 o'clock show. Every Friday night at midnight, should you be in town? Open invite for you.
We will come.
It's all 80s music.
Oh,
do you have favorite 80s music? Did you like 80s music?
I was too busy with wrestling. I don't know. Polly does. We graduated in 81, 82, so yeah, she will.
Okay, you got some favorites. So dance party or midnight on Fridays, you're always welcome.
All right.
Okay, would you rather not be able to stop dancing or not stop singing? You just got to go through life like it's a musical, but you have to either always be dancing or singing.
When I tried out for the school choir in fifth grade, because I went to school at Christmas musical, because I wanted to get out of class and be with my buddies, I sang what the Mrs. Mason put in front of me, and she looked at me and says, Jordan, you are so bad. We can't let you in the choir.
And the singing part?
Yeah, that was terrible.
So you know singing or dancing?
I can't do any of that, That's why I had to wrestle and go into politics. I got no other skill set.
Well, listen, you were pretty dominant on the wrestling field. So, okay, this kind of ties into one we talked about before, but would you rather be hot all the time or cold all the time?
Yeah, hot, definitely.
Because I feel like you can turn on a fan, get a cold drink, you can do something, but when you're cold, that's miserable, right?
Yeah, no, I spent my whole life in, you know, wrestling rooms, working out and mowing grass in the summer. Yeah, I'd rather be hot.
Is it true, the whole thing about making weight, where you put on the plastic bags and you run around and jog and do jumping jacks until you weigh in, and then you eat a hot fudge sundae?
No, you don't eat a hot fudge. You rehydrate.
Snickers bar?
You rehydrate. Get ready for the competition.
How does that work? I'm very curious.
You got to train your body to do it, and it, people talk about that a lot, but it's like you get used to it, and you have to get lean, you have to eat right, but then you also have to drop a few pounds of water and make the weight so you're ready.
That's very tricky.
So you're big and ready to compete.
Now, would you rather have the ability to read minds or control objects with your mind? These could both be helpful on Capitol Hill, especially during negotiations.
The question I never thought about. So I'll say read minds. How about that? Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah.
But it could be very helpful.
All I want to know is read my wife's mind. That's the only one. I can forget
all
the
others. Isn't that all husbands?
Yeah, totally.
They want to be able to figure it out. And they would save a lot of problems. So when she says, what's wrong? Or you say, what's wrong? And she says, nothing. You'll immediately know.
Yeah.
Oh,
and you can tell when she
knows
says nothing,
I forgot,
there's something. Yeah,
I forgot
tell.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
All right. Your final question. Would you rather be completely alone for 5 years or constantly be surrounded by people and never alone once in 5 years?
If the people are family, I'd take that any day. Yeah, that's what we live for, because our kids are all in. We got one kid in our state, the other three are out of state. More importantly, one with the granddaughters is out of the country. If we could have them all around, I'd take that any day.
What if it's all your colleagues on Capitol Hill from both sides of the aisle?
No,
you can't escape them for 5 years. So it depends on the people.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Congressman Jordan, great to have you with us.
Thank you
for stopping by. Living
our pleasure.
The
you
breeze.
Do a great job. You do a great job on this and your show.
Thank you. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you.